Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the hell are you doing? What's going on?
You sound very lovely and rich. Have you got a new microphone, Chris? Have you invested? Have you speculated to accumulate again?
Well, I've got this microphone brought. This is the Shure SM7B. Yeah. That's why my voice sounds like a purring, purring Jaguar. But I decided I didn't like the sound of it. I had some problems with it because you've got to really boost the audio on it. So I gave it away to charity. And by charity, I mean Charlotte. Right. She's just been using it the last year. But then I realised the microphone that I've been using is a bit too echoey. So I've bought another Shure SM7B and I've just spent all my money buying microphones and then just giving them to Charlotte. So quid's in for Charlotte. Yeah. But yeah, I've backed my ways. Hopefully my voice sounds good and it's not as echoey.
It's good. You sound... yeah, exactly. That's kind of what those microphones are for. I've noticed... I think the Trash Test Boys use M7s, don't they? And we've
invested in... They do, and I think in most podcasts... Mm.
It just means that invariable kind of situation. I think they were built for that reason, to have, if you're in an echoey room, try and cut down on the echoes a little bit. My mate Alex said, we've got this podcast called Clash of the Titles. If you like films in any way, it is worth a bloody listen, because I'm kind of involved in the production of it and stuff. It's fucking funny. Like, and it's, you know, it's a deep dive on all your favourite films from back in the day and beyond. And Alex was doing a bit of recording in his kitchen. And it's just cement. Like, it's just cement everywhere. And he's like, Pete, how can I make this sound better? And I was like, Alex... You're in a cement room. Like, it's like the most echoey kind of place. It was the worst room he could have chosen. He said, yeah, but it looks good. I was going, yeah, but it sounds shit. So what do you want? Do you want it to look good or sound shit? You know, I don't know. So,
Can't have your whole cake and eat it.
You cannot have your cement cake and eat it. Chris, I've been dicking around with cement, actually. I bought some quick setting cement yesterday because I was putting a fence post in. Chris, cement is incredibly quick setting. I understand why they've got those cement mixers, because they just keep it moving. If it stops for just 1 second, it hardens like cement. I had no idea, Chris.
Why the devil have you got cement? What are you doing now? You're destroying your house even more. The property price of your place must be plummeting each and every week as you destroy the house day by day.
The cement, put the posts on my picket fence are absolutely rotten because they didn't. Where they've put the fence together, where the joins have happened, some water has got in and it's made the rivets, the nails that they fired in using a nail gun, rot and get rusty, and it's just I'm just losing picket fence sticks all over the place. So I've tried. It's like the fourth bridge, basically. I'm replacing a couple now, knowing full well that I'll have to replace another stick or two in the future. It's all bloody annoying, Chris. Bloody annoying. Never mind.
It sounds like an awful lot of fun.
It does sound like an awful lot of fun.
I can do that one day. I dare to dream. I wish my week's been that good. I've just been in a forest with Connor going fishing for trout. I felt like a 70-year-old.
That's cool. That's like, I think there's a side mission. I think there's a side mission in every fucking Japanese JRPG where somebody got... Well, yeah, you're definitely in Yakuza. You're definitely in the Dotonbori River. You do a bit of fishing there in 5, I think, or 0. Yeah, in every JRPG, there's a fishing sub-game. Zelda, like, everything's... they love their fishing out there. They get very serious about it, don't they?
They do, yeah. I mean, like, out in the countryside, all of the coastline, there's not much going on except, like, 65-year-old fishermen. Like, it's everything... It's all they do in the countryside here, basically. And we did a wacky weekend. I won't tell you all the stuff we did in it. Right. Don't want to spoil it. But yeah, the first thing we did was trout fishing. Mm. And when Connor was like, oh yes, we're going trout fishing, I was like, oh, this is... I put effort into my wacky weekends. I get a church. I get an abandoned theme park. Right. I get a train, whatever. He gets trout fishing. But it was actually... annoyingly, it was quite good.
Yeah.
At first, we didn't catch any trout, right. But spoilers, we caught 6.
Did you?
Over
Whoa.
The course of about 2 hours.
That's amazing.
6 trout.
Did you have someone to help you?
So we went to the river first.
Right.
We tried for like half an hour, got nothing.
Right.
And then the man came down, and I saw Connor in the distance talking to the man. Mm. And I think the man basically just said, fish this pond here, basically.
Right.
And Connor did. And sure enough, he started pulling trout out by the fucking bucket load out of the pond. But he got 4. I got 2. He loved reminding me of that the entire trip. But it was good, though. We got the trout, and then they cover them in salt in Japan. They like basically just chuck a bucket of salt over it.
To preserve them.
They grill it, and then put it on a stick, and shish kebab. Like the trout. And it was bloody delicious. I felt like Gollum, because you sort of hold the fish like sideways and bite into it. And it all turned very Gollum, very
fast. You've been
fast.
Playing too Stray.
It was very nourishing.
You've been playing that video game Stray. Just like just a little cat eating a big fish. Oh, that's fantastic. Very
enjoyable.
I did
enjoyable. Feel like a cat. Yeah. It was good.
Was the pond that the black guy suggested, was it just like a, literally just a big fish farm? Just where they keep their fish?
No.
Okay, right.
It's surprisingly, it wasn't. No, it was a freshwater stream, and it was really good. We also went to this abandoned village. Connor was like, I want to scare you. We're going to a village in the middle of nowhere. There's no one there. You're going to die. And so we drove for like 2 hours into the middle of Saitama's mountains. Nothing there. Got to this village. First of all, it turned out it wasn't really abandoned. There was clearly some sort of workman going on there building stuff. But what we did see, like Connor was about to get out, and then a massive deer just appeared out of a tree and stared us down in the car. It was really bloody scary. Literally deer in headlights scenario. This deer sort of ominously walked out, and I discovered Connor has a fear of deer. Because he was like, I'm not getting out. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And it's just the most surreal fucking evening. A morning of trout, catching trout in a river, and an evening spent watching Connor cower in fear in the face of a deer. That sounds like a poem. Sounds like a limerick.
Don't fear the deer.
but yeah, that was my weekend. That was my wacky weekend.
That sounds amazing.
No cement. Oh. Just trout. Oh, okay. Trout all round.
I went to the car boot earlier. A lot of interesting things. Picked up a doormat, and it was a surprising amount of Nazi memorabilia on sale, I have to say. I thought that sort of thing doesn't really go on anymore. But turns out, Clevedon. Is it Clevedon or Nevedon? Wherever it was, it was a car boot that quite a lot of people are selling some pretty moody shit, to be honest. Yeah, weird.
Like what? Like what?
Well, like there was a, I think it was a reproduction, but you still shouldn't be able to sell binoculars with the Nazi insignia on the,
oh my God.
The swastika. And then just a big, it looked like a sort of, it looked like it had been taken off someone's kind of like gate who was called Hitler, not necessarily the Hitler, but it just looks like a gate that somebody had taken, and it just says Hitler. It's like, who's selling that? Like, who is?
Are you sure this was a car boot sale? It sounds like
not
a Nazi rally.
Yeah,
rally
it could
thing.
Have been just a rally. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, very.
What are you doing?
What do you mean? What am I doing? I just went to a common garden bloody, garage sale, and people were selling some absolutely moody nonsense. Very weird. Very strange.
Well, I've been trout fishing. Pete's been to a Nazi rally each weekend. Very different. You never know what to expect here on the Abroad Japan podcast.
It's true.
But we do have a story. Quickly escaping Pete's weird story. We've got a story from a rugged Australian man. It says, good day, Chris and Pete. Rugged Australian man here. I'm not going to do the voice. I have a story here from my latest trip in Okinawa back in 2018. I once went to Okinawa with a few of my mates, and we pre-booked a private fishing charter. Oh, God, got more bloody fishing. For one of the days through a business which had good reviews. The night before the charter, we met up with two of the guys who owned the business and had quite a few drinks. One of the fellas was one of the craziest and strangest Japanese guys that I've ever met. He was built like an absolute tank, so we ended up calling him the Yak. The other guy called himself Koshi and seemed to be the handler because he was constantly yelling at him to stop drinking and spending so much money. What? At one point, he was dancing on the table and started yelling out in English, I am the big yak man. What the fuck? Japanese people are typically very polite and well-mannered, and this guy was the total opposite. But all the locals seemed to just accept it and usually just stood there and laughed. The next day, we rocked up at the dock, and the yak and his handler, Koshi, were there, ready to go. Offshore, a few kilometres from the sea, the yak wasn't looking too good. Koshi apologised profusely and tells him to go up to the front of the boat. I have never heard anyone howl while going to the restroom. This was certainly a first for all the boys, but Koshi just looked like this was normal. The smell was horrendous, and there was no escaping it on board. What the fuck? Two sea partner birds flew in, and they started... I can't read this story out.
This is what's happening, isn't it? There's a fishing rod involved.
This is horrible. Basically, he went to the toilet in the sea, and some birds went and examined it.
The yak
managed to whack one of the birds with his fishing rod to get it to fly away. The bird instantly started floating upside down with its legs in the air. What is this story? Then suddenly, the yak points to the water and yells, woo, as a large white-tip reef shark comes up from the depths and completely swallows both birds and most of the toilet matter in one foul swoop. The yak is absolutely loving it, and we could finally get on with fishing. The days ended well, and we said goodbye to our mates. Hope you're doing well, and hope you can find the two guys in Okinawa. Cheers. Rugged Australian man. I'm gonna shoot the person that got this story. We have someone that goes through and does these stories for us. I don't read them ahead, and now I wish I had done. It's a very graphic story that I had to edit on the fly.
You should read them ahead before you start reading it. But what I will say is that I like the idea. I mean, it was fine. I mean, these things happen. You poo in the sea, some birds try to eat the poo, a big whale comes and eats everything. So, cool. But what I like about that, I like that it started with the man, the rugged Australian man, eating like a McDonald's, and that's the start of the story. Or maybe we go back... And the cow, the grass goes into the cow, and then the cow goes into the man, and then the man does a poo, and that goes into a bird, and then the two birds end up in a big whale. Fantastic.
What a story.
What a story, rugged Australian man. What an image.
It's like it's like the anatomy of life there. It summed up nicely the story.
Everyone poops.
Well done. Good story there. I'm glad we didn't hire those two guys on Journey Across Japan. Although we did, like, I left to on the last day, but I let Ryotaro like decide the itinerary of Journey Across Japan, right? Escape to Paradise.
Right.
The trailer of which is out now. Check it out, Abroad Japan. I left it to Ryotaro, and he got this, like, these guys that take you out to sea and you do lots of water sports, right? Like on a rubber ring, and like they get like a jet ski and whoosh you around, all this crap. But he got this really good one, but they turned out they were busy that day and they couldn't do it. So Ryotaro got like some really dodgy Yakuza dudes covered in tattoos, I think. And they took us out to the boat and they were so reckless. There was no health and safety.
Right.
That's how I destroyed my eardrum. And maybe it was these two guys, because they sort of were at a similar level in the way they did things. So, yeah, be careful who you hire in Okinawa.
Yeah. Fishermen are a different breed. They're a different. They get up earlier than us. They're in the pub earlier than all of us. It's fantastic. It's great.
They don't play by our rule book.
Yeah,
yes.
True.
Now we've got a story this week. Well, we kind of talked about it last week briefly, but the story is taken a sinister turn, and it involves the wild monkeys terrorising Yamaguchi Prefecture. Over to Pete Dawson. He is our monkey expert.
Yeah.
We brought him in especially to discuss this. He used to work at a monkey zoo. Tell us a story, Pete. What's going on with these monkeys?
Well, we kind of talked about this before a little bit. Basically, this news story has been kicking around all over the place, and Japan's police have been caught to action because there's just fucking monkeys everywhere, Chris. We've talked about the bears invading towns, but we're very much in a situation where there's just wild monkey rampages happening all over Japan. And, you know, in recent weeks, 42 people have been reported injured in Yamaguchi City. The Japanese macaques are going absolutely wild. They're the cute ones that you see in the hot springs, aren't they? The Japanese macaques with the red faces.
Yeah.
But these presumably don't have quite such red faces because they're not constantly in hot water. But yeah, they're in a situation where they are just absolutely on the rampage, and the Japanese police, they've managed to take down a few. But only a few, and so the monkeys are mainly at large.
So this is, I don't know why Yamaguchi of all places. Yamaguchi's a prefecture where not a lot really happens. They've got Fugu, you know, Fugu's famous there. And that's about it. It's a nice place, though.
It's in between. Is that the place in between Hiroshima and Kitakyushu?
Yes. Right. Yeah, it's right on the far sort of western edge of the main island, right, of Honshu. It's a pretty cool place, but, like, not a whole lot going on. They've got a nice bridge. Yeah. But and now they've got monkey attacks. 66 incidents in 1 month from two monkeys. I don't know. It sounds a bit like 28 Days Later when the monkeys go on a rampage at the start of the movie with rage. But they did put them down. I think they were... So the two monkeys were 4 years old. Mm. They weighed just 7 kilograms, 50 centimetres tall, and they injured women and children. Mostly women and children they target as well. 66 of them. Ridiculous. And there's the second monkey. The first monkey was incapacitated with a tranquilizer dart after it was spotted. And then... late that night, a man in his 70s had his foot bitten while he was asleep after a monkey broke into his fourth floor apartment through a window. Fourth stories up, there's no escape.
Chris, I mean, there are no monkeys, escape. To be fair. I mean, if a giraffe... that's also a bad example. If a tapir managed to get up four flights of stairs and get into your room, fine. But I think monkeys, they're more than capable to get that high.
Very true. 1-0 monkeys.
1-0 monkeys,
The second monkey in question was captured by an Indonesian man in his 20s and in a company dorm that the monkey wandered into. But I think they actually killed the monkeys, They phrase it really weirdly. They say two monkeys were captured and destroyed. Mm. Can you destroy a monkey? Why do they use that term
destroyed.
When they put down animals?
It's kind of like killed and then... put in a bit, like rendered, burned. I don't know what the destroyed it, like where it sits, really.
Well, I didn't put the damn poor monkey in a incinerator, but either way. But there was a story underneath this, right? Same week, headlining: bathers warned against dolphins in Fukui Prefecture after several were bitten. So the animals are striking back. I don't know what's going on in Japan. Maybe it's the climate, maybe it's the weather, driving everyone mad, and the monkeys and the dolphins. But even in Fukui, another prefecture where not a lot really happens. Mm. Fukui's kind of this like backwater prefecture that's often the butt of many jokes, but it's quite beautiful. Mm. And but they've got like more nuclear power stations there than any other prefecture. So well done, Fukui. But now they've got dolphins that like to bite you as well. So
don't go near them. That's what really makes me laugh. Is like there's just warning signs going up saying don't touch the dolphins. They will bite you. They're going crazy.
So whether you're in a four-story building or having a splash about in the sea, you are not safe from the monkeys and dolphins of Japan. But this is an isolated incident, you know. The monkeys don't normally get this violent. I mean, I've been... When you go to the monkeys that bathe and relax in the hot springs, you can go right up to them. Mm. And as long as you don't make eye contact with them, you're good to go. Like, I've been up close, like, centimetres from them, and it's fine. So don't worry. The monkeys of Japan aren't all violent savages. You can go and get a selfie, and they won't attack you. For the most part. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your comments, stories, and questions in the Fax Machine.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Akshay. Hello, Akshay. Hi, Chris. I'm Akshay, and I've lived in London for all 19 years of my existence. I really want to move to Japan, but my question is, did you encounter extreme feelings of loneliness when you first moved to Japan, and how did you combat those feelings? Was it copious amounts of Kit Kats and tea?
Kit Kats and tea?
Actually, didn't say that. I just said that.
I actually did buy... When you... come over to work here, whatever, you're sort of advised to bring a gift of your culture.
Oh.
And I brought a massive box of tea. It was Wittards, you know, the Wittards or Wittards?
Wittards.
They're really expensive British tea, yeah. Right? And it was a really nice box, and it came in all different flavours of tea from around the world.
Right.
And instead of gifting it to everyone, I just drank it in my apartment over the course of 3 months. So the moral of the story is I don't know what the moral is. Just don't be a greedy bastard. But I mean, it's my 10-year anniversary of living in Japan this week. I can't believe I got this far and this much has happened and somehow survived this long in Japan. Mm. But I don't think I've ever found feelings of loneliness or experienced such things in Japan. Like, I kind of like being alone. Like, for the first time when I moved here, right, all for the rest of my life before that, I was living with people at university. I was living with my family before that. I was never truly alone. I remember there was one of the first days where I was living alone in the apartment. I just, like, came home from work, sat on the sofa, and fell asleep. And nobody woke me up. I woke up 2 hours later in just a silent room, just alone, and I was like, wow, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
You just get woken up by other people walking in or being like, Chris, do you want your dinner? Or Chris, do you want to go for a drink? So to just be just of nothing, it was really kind of a weird moment. But like, yeah, I really like being alone.
Mm.
But those early years, you do get a bit homesick at times, but just got to put on your favorite sitcom from back home. I just watch British sitcoms.
Well, start a podcast with a cool dude from Britain. Just do that.
Yeah, I'll do that. Start a podcast with a radio DJ, and you'll be good. But don't worry about it. Honestly, I think you'll be all right. We live in an age, an era where, you know, you can get anything you want on screen at any point in time. And whether it's... Yeah. But anyway, I nearly went down the dodgy pathway there. Got a story there from Maxim Dominique. He says, Dear Chris and Pete, my name is Maxime Dominique. That's a nice name. Mm. I'm a 26-year-old health scientist and epidemiologist. Oh, I can say a big word. I live by the canals in Alkmaar in the Netherlands and frequently paddleboard. I sometimes get noticed by Japanese and Chinese tourists. Their first reaction tends to be shocked and impressed. This is usually followed by the question, Can I take your picture? Is paddleboarding that uncommon in Japan? And is it common for Japanese people to take your picture? Looking forward to the next episode, guys. Maxim. I don't know why they all want to take your photos in a canal. Maybe because they think it's the quintessential experience of the Netherlands. I don't know. What do you make of that, Pete?
There's a guy who used to
just think it's a bit
dress
weird.
On Christmas Day. He used to dress as Santa, and he used to dress his dog up as little Santa, and they used to paddleboard up and down the Grand Union Canal. That was what he used to do on Christmas Day. And I think seeing anyone paddleboard down a canal is actually it's a rare sight anyway. So it's probably just like, it's a paddleboard you see out in the sea, you know, people out on the estuary. I enjoyed myself in St. Lucia recently, not that long ago. I'm pretty good at the old PB, my PB, and I think it's just rare to see a paddleboard on a canal. I think that's fair to say.
That's it. Mm. That's what wins the hearts and minds of Japanese and Chinese tourists.
I think so.
I mean, I don't think Japanese tourists take that many photos, do they, of strangers and things.
Yeah.
I know when I was in China, I got a lot of strangers come up and just take photos like all day and night. Whereas in Japan, they don't do that. I think that they would see that as incredibly rude in Japan, whereas China, they just don't really care that much. But I don't know. I guess it's just rare. in it.
It's just rare.
They just sort of want to go back home and show their friends just how exciting the Netherlands is. And, you know, they do that in the UK. They'll take pictures of flower gardens and castles, and that's their image of the UK. So, I don't know. Maybe you represent the Netherlands. There you go. I don't know. But there you go. We got one here from Sheridan who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I've got a question for Chris. How do you feel being a brand and sharing so much of your life online? Does the pressure live up to what your audience expects or ever feel overwhelming?" Yeah, I guess so. Don't know, really. Does it feel overwhelming? Yeah, look, you just get used to it. Like being boiled alive like a frog, you just kind of get used to these things. Because it's been so slow and gradual, it's just sort of become a natural thing. What is that all over your arm, by the way?
What?
Your arm's like covered in something
white. I've been painting.
What's that?
I've been painting. I can't get the paint off.
Oh, my God. Pete just pulled his arm in shock, and it's just covered in concrete and paint.
I've been
rolling around in the dirt.
I've been grafting, baby.
Rolling around in the dirt. Pete's brand right there.
Well, how dare you expose Donaldson. Me? The pressure, living... well, this is the pressure for me. I've got to do zany things every week. I've got to be covered in paint every week. It's an issue.
Do you feel the pressure of being a brand, Pete? Are you a brand? Do you want to be a brand?
No, I've calmed my output down, so I don't feel like I don't really do social media all that much, and I've never been the sort of person to, and you don't do much of this, to be fair, even though you do a lot of stuff on video. You never sort of, right. You don't post like loads and loads of stuff every day. There's people in my life that will post every 5 minutes of their fucking day, and they're just telling us exactly what they're doing at every point during the day. And it's like, mate, we don't fucking care whether you're getting a train to Wales or a train to Scotland or a train to Leeds. Like, we don't care. We just don't care.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, on Twitter, I see people post there like 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And
it's wild, isn't it?
It's like, chill out.
Absolutely wild. Chill out.
I don't know. We live in a time where people feel like they have to share every moment. What if I go on a trip and I see something interesting, I'll post it. But I don't feel the need to do that. My kind of strategy has always been quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know, I look at so many YouTube channels. If you ever get to YouTube, or you take your YouTube forward, Mr. Donaldson, don't pump out loads of crap videos. I've seen so many YouTube channels where they just put like... they just feel the need to post a video every 2 to 3 days, and they just gradually erode their audience because they're just not interesting videos.
Right.
The sort of channels I watch tend to put out videos every 2 to 4 weeks, once every 2 to 4 weeks, where they've got the time to think it through, find something original, do something cool. Literally, I think like 90% of the channels I follow are like that, you know. but I guess if you're a personality, like a YouTuber, a streamer, then you can sort of get away with it more. But... you've got to have a strong personality to pull it off. I can't do that. I like to take my time. Like, I put out the video recently, The Biggest Lie About Japan, it's called, right? And I spent fucking 2 to 3 weeks on that damn video. Probably 2 weeks of that was that stupid flying car for 10 seconds of the video. But that's like has become the most successful video of the entire year.
Right,
it's got like 1.5 million views in a week. It's doing really well. 100,000 people, you know, it's really awesome. So it's nice to take your time, make something special, and sort of feel vindicated afterwards, right, when people watch it. And that's kind of how I do things.
Yeah.
And if you ever get into YouTube or do anything like that, that's what I recommend. Take your time with it, enjoy it, make something special, make something unique. I think you'll enjoy it a lot more. And that's how I've lasted 10 years doing this, I guess, because I take my time with it. I've only made like 250 videos or something, whereas I know folks that made like 2,000 videos in that time, in that same sort of period. So quality over quantity, that's philosophy. Remember that when you take your I Review Planes Now YouTube channel to a whole new level. Is it still there, your YouTube channel?
It'll still be there, kicking around, I sometimes upload, when I'm testing out videos, I'll upload something to a private channel just to make sure it works on YouTube and stuff, and then go and put it on a different channel that people might actually watch.
When was your last upload?
I think it was me pretending to be a Frenchman, reviewing your video.
Yeah.
It's just good stuff. Just great content, guys. Just great content.
To be fair, that was pretty funny. A lot of people thought you were actually... there were loads of comments like, I don't think he's actually French.
What a surprise.
No shit, he wasn't French. Honestly. That was the highlight of the video. Back when... That was when like everyone was reacting to Abroad in Japan, right?
Right,
like,
yeah,
100
yeah,
videos.
Yeah.
Everyone just reacted to my What Not To Do In Japan video for some reason.
Yeah.
Because I think if you made a reaction video, it got loads of views. And yeah, yours was... my favourite.
Oh, thanks, mate. That's really
good.
Give
a video that. That's a good video. Go back and watch that last year. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. As always, guys, many thanks for watching, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world. Have yourself a great few days, and we see you right back here, do all over again, on the Broad Japan Podcast later in the week. Bye for now.
Later in the week. Bye.
Later in the week.
Later in the week.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.